So I was just gonna show you some of the stuff that we've been
Hey,
seeing
Felix,
from
sorry.
people. Hey, Dan.
Hey, nice to meet you, man.
Yeah, you as well.
I was just gonna show you some of the stuff that we've been seeing, Ben, and just wanted to get your reaction and like kind of get towards like hopefully like some sort of ranking on like things that you see things. Basically, I'll just share my screen and make more sense.
Cool.
So we've been starting to like write down some of these like pains and gains. And just wanted to get like your sort of reaction to these.
Yeah, I would say the biggest one is number one for sure. And then we don't, are you talking about onboarding new customers in terms of like me onboarding new customers onto our product?
Yeah, sorry, I should have been clear on this. Yes.
I don't think that's actually too difficult for us. There's some like data stuff that is a pain in the ass for us, but it doesn't have anything to do with voice. I would say bigger things are not, maybe this isn't really like a voice issue, but we need to be better about getting the model to kind of like go into a little bit more detail on interviews it's doing and think on its feet a little bit more. That's not really voice stuff though. It's just like we need to improve our prompts, and you know, improve context and stuff like that. But context.
Context, sorry.
But yeah, those are probably our two biggest ones.
So it's the logic of like the actual agent stuff.
Yeah, a bit. That's not like we're definitely not in a bad place on that right now, but could be better. I mean, the other big thing for us, which again, it's not really related to voice, is like, you know, for our product, we have, you know, basically building an AI recruiter, so we have people moving through a candidate flow and just managing like the context and, you know, when we have another touch point with the candidate, are we asking a question that we've already asked, or you know, stuff like that? And just getting all that stuff right is difficult, but again, that's not really like a voice issue.
Are we asking questions we've already asked? Yeah, that makes sense. It's like the are you using any frameworks and stuff for using like AI SDK or whatever?
Right now we're not doing any of that, but we should be at some point.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I feel like you hear different things from different people that like whether they're worth using and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. So it's just that sort of like design slash I don't know. I feel like that's the core of what you're that feels like the core of your differentiation and you doing that well is like the driver of the product, I guess.
That's
Or
a part
not.
of it, yeah. There's a lot of other stuff as well, but that's definitely a big part.
Is there anything else that's kind of keeping you up at night at the moment?
Those are the big ones on the technical side, honestly.
Just like zooming in on the like conversation doesn't feel natural. Is there anything that's like really painful there for you guys?
I think yeah, mostly just turn taking. Like right now we have the our silence duration like between turns set pretty long. And so the conversations feel kind of like there's a high amount of latency. The reason we have it set long is to avoid interruptions, like avoid the model. Like in that exact scenario where I was thinking of what I was gonna say, the model would interrupt, basically to avoid that kind of thing. So just having like a more context driven approach to that where the model understands what's being said and we'll wait to talk until it's obvious that, it's the model's turn to talk. I know there's some new stuff on this, like the Grammy just released a big new thing, which I've been meaning to get around trying, but yeah.
Yeah, we just starting to implement that. One of our engineers, you're talking about the Flux model. Yeah, it seems really good. It's like we're getting, I think, timed at like 2 seconds latency on like turn taking, and it feels like really like whole thing of like replies, and it feels like really, really fast. I don't know.
That's great. Our only problem is right now it's only in English, which is a problem for us, but I'm sure it'll be multilingual soon.
Yeah, I can if it's helpful, not about using us or anything, but just so if you wanted, I can send like the demo that our engineer did, so you have an idea of like what it's like in the real of someone implementing
That'd be great.
it. Cool. I'll send that. Yeah, is there anything else with the kind of like natural within this kind of context of like
That's mostly it. I mean, really, like, it boils down to, I think, turn taking. I mean, the voice is already like good in terms of how it sounds as a voice. It's really just like turn taking and content that we need to improve on, I would say.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, great. This is super, super helpful. And these are like the kind of gains from that. Like, maybe this is very specific, this one, to be honest, but I don't know if it applies to you as well. But we had something that came up for like a lot of people was like perfect transcription, low quality audio.
Yeah, that's definitely somewhat of an issue for us. It used to be a really big issue. We kind of sort of have a hack for that, which is we just, if the model like can't hear or kind of gets in a bad state, we basically just have the model say, "Hey, sorry, I can't hear you. Can you speak up?" Which is kind of a hack because, it kind of will prompt the person to make, people know how to make their phone noise quality better, so they'll do that. That tends to help. It's not really like great, but it helps.
That is genius. Gotta say, that's the first time I've heard someone doing that.
Yeah,
And it's
it works
genius.
pretty well.
That's
Yeah.
really neat. I do that with my friends all the time. genius. Yeah. Have you tried like the noise isolation stuff? I know some people are doing that.
Like messing with the audio. Nah, we just take the audio that comes straight from Twilio and sends it to we send it to Deep yeah, I guess we're using Deepgram now. So I haven't really messed with any of that yet. Maybe there's something you can do, but I don't know. My kind of theory on that is like the iPhone's already doing so much to make the audio good, and then so are the phone networks. Like, I am probably not going to do a better job at that than Twilio or Apple.
Actually, that's a good point. But we have spoken to some people that said that they've got a lot of benefits from using like Crisp and AI acoustics, but I can't actually remember if it was like over phone or if that was web one.
Yeah, I think it makes a big difference. When things come in over the phone, it definitely changes a lot. Because like if you have just like a laptop mic, it depends on the laptop that it's coming from, but there can be a lot of like excess noise outside of the speech that comes in. But with phones, they're already like so tuned to that like when I listen to the Twilio recordings, it's like, yeah, I mean, even if I like we did try stuff to We actually at one point tried using like FFmpeg to basically, we use like a combination of VAD and FFmpeg to basically like any time that VAD was basically saying there was no speech, we would like strip out the audio effectively and then send that. And it didn't really, it kind of caused a bunch of problems too. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's somewhere we get for that now, but I just don't see it as like a good use of time at this moment.
It's not that big. So would you say it's more reducing from what you said, was it reducing latency between like turns?
Not necessarily reducing latency, it's more like just making sure the model, like having, you know, half a second latency is like totally fine. It's more like if you if we take, I mean, we intentionally set the latency to basically a second in most calls, but if you have it at half a second, you're a lot more likely to get in like the model will interrupt the caller in a way that's not good. And so it's really like how do you reduce, how do you keep the latency at half a second and then reduce those interruptions?
Okay, so reducing interruptions while keeping latency at half a second.
Yeah.
And is that so the gain would be reduce interruptions while keeping
Yeah, I mean,
latency.
basically, I think it's what DeepGram has done. From what I read, it's like what they're doing, where it's like you look at the actual text that's happening, or you know, the content of the audio, and then you decide whether or not to create, you know, to have the model start speaking. Because like even when we're talking right now, sometimes I talk immediately right after you talk, less than half a second. Sometimes I wait longer than half a second. So for it to feel natural, it has to be, it can't be just like when there is silence, start talking after half a second. Like there has to be, it has to be contextually driven.
So it's like appropriate contextual
Yeah.
time. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess this perfect transcription is like not that high, for you.
Yeah, we don't really, I mean, frankly, like I've looked at the transcriptions that come in on the call, 'cause and they're not, definitely not perfect when the call is actually happening. But the model, the model can basically get the gist of what's happening almost always, and so it's like totally fine that the transcription isn't 100% perfect. And then post-processing, we use a different transcription that is like honestly pretty good. Like every time I see a weird transcription and I listen to the call, I'm like, you know, it's pretty good. I don't think there's really anything we could do there. Like even I am kind of misunderstanding what that person's saying, or like I don't really, you know, so
Totally.
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, totally makes sense. Yeah, so this is like kind of the jobs to be done. And do you think there's any, well, I guess this is like this is kind of like for I should struggle on how the best place to say this, but like this is like what we're trying to think about, like what problem we should work on and the job that we should try to solve, essentially.
Yeah.
Do you have a view on like what should be worked on as like a like you would want someone to be working on?
I mean, I mean, in general, like, well, right now we use LiveKit, which does a lot of the, actual transport. Like, we don't use the, we never really handle the audio ourselves, obviously. Or, yeah, not really. But, I don't know. I mean, just the biggest thing is like, yeah, we've had to spend a ton of time like tuning settings and putting in all this stuff where it's like, for example, we have a bunch of like, we've written a bunch of code to make the conversation feel more natural in terms of adjusting values at different times in the conversation and all that kind of stuff, based on, what is it, incoming or outgoing, all that kind of stuff. Handling, yeah, it's tough because like, would I like to not have to do that work? Yes, but also I want to somewhat be in control of what's happening there. So, yeah, I don't know. It's tough. It really just depends on like how good the solution. Like, if someone was like, "Hey, you can basically just provide an LLM node and numbers and like Twilio number IDs or something." And it the conversation felt perfect every single time, then I'd feel comfortable giving away control on that. But yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. It's like you're kind of like, well, it would be great if I didn't have to like configure and test all these options, but also it sounds like you feel like a lot of those were like quite specific and you want them a certain way for your customers that probably someone else would want differently, you would think.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, most phone calls are probably pretty similar, and so you could probably get by with a somewhat generalized solution there. But like also like we're in a pretty good spot now. Like we're not perfect, but I listen to other calls that are you'll see on Twitter like, oh, this is like a good voice AI thing, and I'll listen to their call and I'll be like, we're better than that. So I'm not like, yeah, in dire sh the first time we talked, I was in much more dire straits. Now we're in a better spot.
I don't know if I've spelt that as the band or how it's actually spelt, Dire Straits. Yeah, that makes sense. But by the way, just like, have you seen any examples that are like unbelievably good?
Honestly, not really. I keep going on to people's websites and like Hello Patient the other day I tried and I was like, this is good, but it's basically just the same. It's definitely not any better than what we're doing. Like they're just using Livekit under the hood and doing all the same tricks that we are. So yeah, and then like in that example I tried it and I was like, well, this quality is like maybe the same, maybe slightly worse than ours. And I tried it on their website. So I was going like just over the internet and through my super high quality MacBook microphone. So I was like, over the phone, this seems like it'd be even worse than ours. So.
How do you feel about the ChatGPT voice one? Have you
I
tried
haven't
that?
used it much.
Pretty good, I'd say.
It's good.
Yeah, I think it's good, but be curious what you think.
I mean, I feel like long term, all of this is heading towards there's just a speech in, speech out model. But the problem right now with that is like for example, with like the real time API, like it's not going to work well for a business use case because you're going to want to be able to control the like you're going to want to be able to make your own voice and you can't do that with speech to speech right now. So
Yeah, I feel like the tool calling and stuff's harder as well. I don't know.
also that and there's the timing stuff. So yeah, I mean great points and all that.
It's interesting. Okay. And so That makes sense. Yeah, this is really cool. Yeah, I know. Sorry, do you have could we actually just play around with Achilles right now and see, just kind of curious, because I should have done this before, but I wonder if you've got anything that we can speak to, just like
I can
super.
send you something after we are. I just need to double check with my co-founder because we're kind of playing things a little tight to the chest right now, just because there's a
Okay.
lot of competition in the space and everything. But I can probably send you guys send you a demo call
Yeah, it'll be
after
amazing.
this meeting.
It's just purely for ourselves, just want to see what good looks like, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be amazing.
I'm sure it's fine
But
if I can just send you our demo number after this, and you can just call it in and call in on it and see how it sounds. But
yeah,
the I
I'll
think the prompts on the demo number are not up to date, but so the content's not really exactly what we do now, but I keep it up to date with our whole voice pipeline, so it sounds like the conversation will behave like our existing conversation, basically.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. In terms of the well,
Yeah.
I think this one, I don't know if it's super useful, but do you think if there's anything that's really changed recently that makes sort of solving these problems more valuable?
I mean, I think there's just with the whole concept of voice. I mean, the canonical answer is there's so many problems that can now be solved with software, but I don't think that anything has changed since we last talked, really. I haven't really experimented with any new models in the last couple months at all. I've been working on other stuff, but I mean, they're just like, I mean, how many people are employed doing phone calls that, you can read off of a script? Like, there's just a shit ton of money to be made
100%.
automating
Yeah,
that.
100%. Yeah, this is amazing. Yeah, Ben, those were the questions I wanted to ask you. So, just is there anything else that we is there anything that we could help with you guys at the moment?
I'm just curious where you guys are at in terms of development.
Yeah, so we have been really focusing on we made the onboarding a lot simpler because obviously for us we want people trying it out so we can actually and using it so that we can actually make it better. So we launched a CLI that's got a sort of get started in a minute. So it's just lots of quality of life stuff for tunnels and stuff, because for us right now, I don't know if you have to do this with LiveKit, but probably do, I guess, if you're running it on their cloud, you have to have a tunnel running locally and then update it in the LiveKit
We
dashboard, I
run on
guess.
our own cloud, so we just so if, like from the agent process, we can just hit our own server, basically. Is that what you're talking about?
We were talking about if you, well, I guess for us, because we're doing we have the authentication and stuff, so the you give it kind of like an endpoint to hit locally in local development, so that layer code sends you the data to an endpoint that you define. So we have to basically put localhost 3000 online so that it can be hit and that sort of stuff. So it's to test it out, you have to do that. And then so we've got
Oh,
just
so you just made a CLI
built-in,
to do it.
yeah, just like and it updates it in the dashboard and stuff. Just it's just made our life easier, that sort of thing. And so now we've got people actually using it, and there's just so much stuff with trying to make it work well with AI SDK and all this kind of thing, and just lots of small things that But we're trying to think about like the bigger picture as well, so we're not just getting bogged down in making, SDK changes and stuff, but actually thinking about what's going to be most useful, which is where it's extremely helpful to talk to you, and we really appreciate it. We're going to hopefully have the Flux model integrated soon. And yeah, that's kind of mostly what we've been working on.
Cool. And by the way, I just pulled up your LinkedIn. I see you live in Victoria. I've actually been there a bunch. I'm from Seattle originally.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. I worked for Kenmore Air, so I would
Oh, cool. Yeah. You've got
like in high school, I gas planes for them basically.
done a lot of seaplanes then. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, Jack, you didn't get to do that when you came, but
I
next time you
know.
come out, we've got to do that because it is fun. I guess, did you ever get tired of it though, Ben? Like, I feel like if you do it all the time, it's
It was
kind
pretty
of
cool. I mean, I wasn't flying every day. I was
Sure.
on the dock and I flew just occasionally. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, it was pretty fun.
That's
Did you get
cool.
to fly them yourself? I have, well, I had a friend that a family friend that was a pilot, and she one time was just like, let me fly the plane with passengers in it, which was pretty wild. But,
That's cool.
not landing
yeah,
though.
no,
It
not
is really,
landing.
I don't know if they do it with Kenmore, but the Canadian one, Harborough, they let you sit up front with the pilot if they
Oh yeah,
have
they
seats.
do. They do at Kenmore too.
Yeah, which is
Harborough
like,
is much more professional than we were. We were pretty a little bit wild west of us, like not in a dangerous way, but
yeah.
Harborough had their shit together a little bit more.
I've done it a few times. It's always kind of terrifying because you're like, this is really fun. Then you're like, what if the pilot fucking has a heart attack? Like, I'm literally the person sitting here. So, but yeah, that's cool. Where are you based now?
In New York.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. I actually have a meeting right after this though, so I gotta run. But thanks,
Yeah. Cool.
guys.
Thanks,
Have a good
Ben.
rest of your day.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks. See you later.